Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, that's towards the end of your New Testament if you're just getting to know your way around. Just before James, almost towards the end of the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there's some under the seat back in front of you. Love to see people cracking open their Bibles and getting to know the Word and becoming more and more comfortable reading and studying and learning and being changed by that. We were made for a relationship, right? We've been talking about that. We talked about being made in relationship for each other. We're the body of Christ. We're the family of Christ. And last week we talked about being created for relationship with God. We're created to have that fellowship, that relationship. And we were told, the verse was, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if we don't taste and see, you know what happens to your taster? It stops working. You start to lose track on how to have that relationship with God. There is a left side and a right side of our brain. Did you know that? The left side of our brain is more the logical, task-oriented, get stuff done, figure things out, logically side. The right side of our brain is the relational part. It's the part that connects with people. It's the part that makes us say, I'm part of this family. I belong to that person. I'm this person's spouse because we have this connection, this relationship. And when we don't use the right side of our brain, the relational side of our brain, and we function all out of just task, 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 you know what? We start to lose the natural ability to have relationship with people and with God. You can do that. It can your taster can get broken. So we learned that we need to be in relationship with God and relationship with each other. And guaranteed, relationships will hurt sometimes. But what do we say about relationship? Relationship equals what? Joy. It is the relationships that bring joy into our lives. If we just do tasks without relationship, we will find ourselves without joy. It's the relationships that bring joy into life. So when the title of my message and our service today is, so God, can we talk? How does that relationship function? What is that looking like? We think about God in a lot of different ways in our world. There's a lot of different ways that people look at God. Sometimes they think about God as the, next slide please, as the big guy upstairs God. Ever heard of that before? Yeah, the big man upstairs, he's the guy. And he's kind of that he's there, he's up there, and when I need something, I can go to him, but, you know, he's up there and I'm down here. And we just kind of, if I need something, I'll go to him, and he takes care of me. He's the man upstairs. But what's that relationship like? It's kind of based upon, hey, I need something. Kind of a little bit of the bubblegum God. Here, all right, I probably got to do something good, and then God will give me something back, right? Or there's the thunderbolt God. He's the God that's just standing up there, just kind of going, wrong. Nope, weren't supposed to do that one. You did it again? You get it twice this time. You know, that's, you think about God as this, he's just up there ready to whack us every time we do something wrong. Or the good friend God. He's our buddy. And we can just sit down with God and just dump all of our troubles on God and say, here, this is going on, that's going on, and this is going on. And he just wants to sit and listen. Just listen. He's a good friend. He just wants to listen. But are relationships ever one-sided? Or they shouldn't be, right? Yeah, there's supposed to be a relationship in there that goes back and forth. And when you have a relationship with God, and you listen to God, you find that he's got a lot more important things to say than I do, right? Or the scorekeeper God. This was my God growing up. Like, okay, here's the scorekeeper. Oh boy, you're in bad. You need to fix some things because you're getting in bad shape. Oh, all right, okay. Come to church. All right, help that person. You were nice to that to your parents. All right, okay. Now you're okay. It's just kind of a. As long as you got enough goods, somehow it makes you okay with God. But what's the relationship? You're just trying to do enough things to keep him happy. God is God, and we're his creation. Okay? He is the Savior. We're the ones that need saving. He's the Father. We're the sons and daughters. The relationship has to be right, or the relationship doesn't work, does it? Stand together, and we're going to focus on our verse that we'll be in today to teach us a little bit about the heart of God. So let's read together. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this just powerful, clear picture of our ability to approach you and some of the things involved in that, Lord God. I thank you this is going to help us to know you better so that when I say, so God, can we talk? I'm going to know the answer to that. And I'm going to know what your word says your answer would be. So help us, Lord. Teach us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Be seated. So we were made for relationship by the God of Scripture and for the God of Scripture. He didn't need us, did he? He didn't need to create us. But he did, and he created us in love and created us for love, for relationship. And this verse says, begins to teach us a bit about how we can we talk, God, get the answer to that question. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with what? With confidence. So we are coming into the presence of Almighty, all-powerful. We were talking about that after worship team practice. God could squash us, but he chooses not to, doesn't he? Why? I mean, aren't we a pain in the neck? Aren't we a pain in the neck? But you know what? He loves us, and he chooses not to squash us. He chooses to redeem us and forgive us and die in our place. That's an amazing picture of God. So he's all-powerful, and he's all-knowing, right? He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. And he's a holy God. He's perfect. He is without sin. He is without blemish in any way, shape, or form. So when you stand before him, it's like the straight. You think a stick is straight until you put it next to a ruler, and all of a sudden you find out, oh, that wasn't quite as straight as we thought it was. And we stand before God thinking, well, I'm not that bad. And then I stand before God and say, I was kidding myself, right? But we stand before that Almighty God, and it's a throne of what? Of grace. It says, come and approach the throne of grace. And he's calling us to, he's telling us to approach his throne. What is the throne of grace? I was going to take that out. Go to the next one, I think. Yeah, it's a place of unearned love and yet unlimited love. Unearned and unlimited love. That's what grace is. It's not something you could earn or buy or do enough good things to say, God says, okay, you really deserve this. It's who he is. He loves us. And that grace that we can approach him with is what calls us to be able to approach him with confidence, because we know he is a great God of love. And why did he do this? Why did he make the throne a throne of grace and not a throne of judgment? Because his desire was that we come to him. He could have made it a throne of judgment, right? He chose not to, because that's who he is. He is a God of great love. We see the heart of God. And I want to go over just a couple of verses. It's a neat study if you go into Hebrews. You can follow along with me if you want. I'm just going to jump through at the beginning of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 says, chapter 2 verse 1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It says, be careful. Think about what you've heard. What have you heard? I love you. I sent my son to die in your place, to bring you from death to life, from hell to heaven. I love you. That's the message. That's the gospel, right? He says, be careful. I want you to come with me, to be with me. What else? Chapter 3, verse 12. He says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. He says, don't turn away from me. I'm here. We're together as we were created and designed to be in fellowship. He says, don't turn away. Do you hear the heart of God? He's calling you to him. Come to the throne of grace with confidence. Chapter 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. There was a promise of eternal rest with God. God made it to you and to me. He said, there is a gift, you cannot earn it, but I've made it available to you if you would just receive it by trusting and following me. That's God's heart to you. Verse 7 of chapter 4 says, therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. If you hear his heart, his voice, don't become hard. I created you for relationship with me, for fellowship. You just see the heart of God saying, we are designed to be in fellowship together. Why does God do that? Why do we do things for our kids? Think about the things we do for our kids. You kids don't know how good you have it. I knew I'd get an amen out of that one. We do things. We do crazy things. I hung around here at the church for an hour yesterday while my daughter was going to show up at some place to unload some equipment from one of her shows. And I hung around for an hour, and I went over there because she needed help. And I helped all of like 10 minutes. I didn't need to do that. But we do things for our kids because we love them. We love them. Why do family and friends get together? Because we want to be together. We want to just be there for each other. It's what we do. It's what we do. And that's who God is. He is a God of grace and of mercy. 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 What's mercy? It's unearned pardon. We are pardoned for something that we deserved punishment for. We didn't do anything to earn the pardon. We couldn't do anything to earn the pardon, and yet God says, I forgive you. That's mercy. It's unearned pardon. One of the things that keeps us from that fellowship with God is guilt, right? Fear, of being afraid of what God might think of us, shame for what we've done, self-condemnations. We beat each other up, and so we say, I don't want to open my Bible. I don't want to pray or have time with God because I just don't want to have to think about the things I've done. When we open up God's Word and we find that what? As believers in Christ, there is therefore what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been taken from condemnation to being set free. We are, he said, you know, the sins that you're feeling so guilty about, I've forgiven them and I've put them behind me and I will not bring them up to you anymore. I will not bring them up to you again. So those, but these are the things that even, and those are the things sometimes that keep us from God as before we became believers. And we find that we've been given forgiveness through Christ. But even after, as believers, when we sin, we screw up, we have this promise from God. What does John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many memorized that in one of my discipleship classes? Yeah, a few of those, yeah. Yeah, it's, He says, I want us to be able to be together, and there's a way. And it's through my Son and the blood on the cross, the blood that He shed on the cross. Unearned pardon is yours. And you know what? It's an immediate thing. When we ask for forgiveness, we're forgiven. You don't have to now begin to ask again and again and go through a bunch of processes and things that you have to do. You got to give so much. You got to go to church enough times. And by the time you finish this process, okay, now you've reached the end and you're forgiven. No. When you say, God, I sinned and I've wandered from you. Please forgive me. When does it happen? Right then, you're forgiven. That's mercy. Mercy happens when we ask. It's interesting that word mercy, it's used twice in the New Testament here. And it's used, remember the story of Paul at the end of the book of Acts when he is on a ship? And there's a terrible storm, and they're throwing stuff overboard, just trying to keep the ship afloat. They're thinking it's going to break apart. So they threw ropes underneath and tied the ship together to try to hold it together. The word mercy is what they used for the rope. It was the same word, and it's a nautical word, and it's what they used to hold the ship together. Mercy, when we are falling apart at the seams, we've screwed up and screwed up and screwed up, and I just can't seem to get my life straight, and we come to God for mercy, He just binds us up in mercy and holds us together and says, you're forgiven, and my mercy is yours. That's a powerful thing. What held that ship together is what holds us together. Mercy. It's a powerful thing. Now, when we come before God in confidence, what makes us so sure that we can, that relationship with God is real and secure? It's by faith. And the question is, I want to ask and I want you to think, have you made that leap of faith? Where you say, I'm no longer going to trust in my good works, my goodness, my ability to hold my life together. I'm going to trust in what Jesus did on the cross. And it is a leap of faith. It's not just something that just kind of happens. At some point, God says, you need to trust in my Son because He is the one that is takes care of your sin. He is the one that breaks the chains. He is the one that sets you free. And so I want to ask you, Have you come to that place where you have said, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Jesus, what you did on the cross, I want to trust in you to forgive me. Have you come to that place where you've made that personal decision of faith? If you haven't, it's a choice that everyone has to make on this side of heaven, on this side of the grave. God wants you to be with him, not only here as we learn how to pray, he wants you to be with him for all eternity. And that choice for eternity is made here on earth. So think about that. If you've not made that decision today, make it your decision to say, I'm going to trust in Christ. I'm going to begin to trust and follow him and not myself. Lord, I need your mercy. But we also found that this was a place where we could receive mercy and also find grace. Grace is what? Unearned love, unearned favor. But it's not, grace is something that is not an instantaneous one-time thing. It is something that we seek after day after day after day. God's grace strengthens us, helps us, and supports us over and over. And as we pray and we look, we've resolved the mercy issue. God, I needed your mercy, and he gave it as I trusted in him. Grace is something we continue to pursue. We continue to pursue. And I wanted to just look through the Lord's Prayer, because it's a picture of finding grace, a picture of that relationship. Most people know, to some degree or another, the Lord's Prayer, right? We've said it at funerals, we say it in, you know, growing up and different ways. Less nowadays, but it starts very familiar. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Listen to the relationship that God calls us to. Our Father. First, he calls himself a father. He says, I want you to be in relationship with me. I want you to be able to come to me whenever you have need. I want you to spend time with me. I love spending time with my kids. God loves spending time with us and wants us there. Our Father, and that's ours. We're together. We're supposed to be one with him, right? His name, it's our name. We're Christians, right? Little Christs. We're his body, the body of Christ. Father in heaven, we're your family. That speaks to who we are. We're his family. And it says, holy is your name. It's our name says it all. And it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. God, you're working here in our lives. He could just be that big guy up in the sky, God, but he's not. He's here with you. He's here in relationship with you. So when we say, so God, can we talk? We're saying, yes, yes. I want to have my will worked out in your life here on earth in the same way it's being worked out in heaven. The next one, give us our daily bread. What is he saying? Come to me with your needs. Come to me with your needs. You're invited. I'm inviting you to come and tell me what you need, right? This is all about relationship. Sometimes this prayer just gets repeated and rote, but there's so much more of the relationship God wants to have with us. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. We receive that mercy. We can go to him in our time of need and find that mercy to say, God, I'm struggling and I've screwed up. And we find forgiveness. Why? Because he wants that relationship. And he's saying, but Lord, teach me how to give mercy. He's saying, I don't want you just to receive. I want you to give as you've received. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. God, we're going to be tempted. Lord, help us. Lead us away from those things. Show us how to avoid being tempted. We want to act like him. We want to act like the Christ followers that we are. Amen? We want to be his people. Lead us there and protect us from the one that would lead us otherwise. Ends with, for your kingdom, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. His kingdom. Is his kingdom down here on earth? Yeah, read scripture. The kingdom has come. It's here. It's already in process here on earth. We're a part of it. And he says, we want to be working and living in his kingdom, his power, his will on earth in our lives. So when we say, hey, God, so can we talk? The answer is, yeah, it's where you belong with me and in relationship with me. There's a part of us and a part of me, a part of all of us that we need our tasters fixed. That part of us that says, I want to be tasting relationship with God. We've gotten very used to just doing things, going to church, giving money, going to work, doing the right things at home. But we've lost the ability to have that close, intentional relationship. And that's not all of us, but this is where I am. And I think our world has gotten so busy and cluttered that we spend a whole lot more of our time just doing stuff and a whole lot less of our time in relationship together. Start with your relationship with God. What brings joy? Relationships. Relationships bring joy. I can go to a movie by myself, but it's a whole lot more fun to go to a movie with somebody. It's a simple, simple concept. Let me just ask, is there anything going on in your heart that God has been speaking to you about how you want to begin to pursue time with God? Or a question about how do I pursue it better? Has God been speaking to you about just your relationship with God? Yeah, Sean, I'm going to grab a... Good to see my brother Sean. Oh, just has God been speaking to you about how to have a closer walk with him?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Just when I pray.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely through prayer.
Okay. So is that something that you're feeling the need to grow in and that you're just needing to go deeper than you have been?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yep. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. That's where I'm at. I'm with you. I'm the pastor, right? God's calling me deeper. He's calling me deeper. I've gotten into a task oriented relationship. Anybody else? We've just been doing this lately, just giving people opportunity to share what God's been speaking to them about as we've talked about some different things. All right. Well, I think we're going to close in prayer. And let's bow our heads for a minute. Lord, you put the call upon us not as a list of rules, because we know rules don't lead to relationship. They may control behavior, but they don't cause us to change our hearts. They don't bring us into relationship. Father, as you call us to deeper places, I pray that you'd help us to just go with a plan in our heart. Holy Spirit, speak to us and lead us to what we may do to go deeper with you, to start to have that relationship. Get away from the just, I've done the right things. You've called us into community with you. Would you teach us, Lord, how to do that? This is not going to be a one-time thing, Lord. I know this is going to be a process for me and a process for all of us. But what a blessed thing it's going to be when I find that community, that belonging place where I just, my relationship with you becomes a natural part of who I am. Rather than, God, what it just feels like it's become getting things done. Thank you, Lord, for how you're going to speak to us and help us to do that over these next days and weeks and months and even years, Lord. Bless us as we go. Lead us closer to you. And we'll thank you, Father God, for that. We pray this in Jesus' name and amen.